Thank you, Brother Miles. It is a privilege to be here. I, with Brother Reynolds, took a big chance. I don't think you had never heard me preach anywhere. Have you? Have you? Oh, and you had me anyway. That's grace. I want to say first off that I was very rough on my brother last night. In all honesty, and I say this truthfully, when we grew up, we had nothing in common. He was an outdoorsman. I was an indoorsman. He was an athlete. I couldn't roll a ball, let alone dribble it. He was the hunter. I didn't know which end of a gun was up. We were very different. We had nothing in common at all. And then we both surrendered to preach, went to Bible college, and I found out, you know, God gave me a pretty good brother. I took me a lot of years to realize that, but that was a compliment. At least it was intended. But I was pretty rough on him last night, so I wanted to at least make some amends this morning. And I'm sure he'll have a few things to say when he gets his chance tonight. Brother Meadows was preaching, and in fact, when he said, "Open your Bibles to 1 Peter," I went, "Oh, no." But he went to chapter 1, and he dealt with holiness. Well, I want to, and this had to be of the Lord, because I couldn't have planned it myself. If we're going to be holy, we're going to be separate, we're going to be peculiar, then we need to know not only what holiness is, but how the devil tries to steal our holiness from us. And I just preached this at my church. It took me 2 services to preach it, so I'm going to try to get it in before lunch, and I'm not going to have time to cover every point. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I love what Brother Meadows said, that some things being separated, you can't logically explain other than God said, don't do it. That's, you know, there doesn't have to be a reason. Reason enough is God said, don't do it, and that should be enough. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This will be a test question for you young people. I want to know the difference. Don't raise your hand, but the difference between may devour and can devour. 2 different English words that change the whole meaning there. But this morning, I'm not going to deal with that. I want to simply, basically, look at some things, and most of these things are things that I have been guilty of. I want to realize that Satan really, even though we give him credit for being smart, he is, but he keeps doing the same old things over and over and over. I don't know if he simply can't come up with anything new, or what he's done for 6,000 years has worked so well that if you're winning, you don't change your game plan. And he certainly has been winning. And I'm just going to make it very simple. I'll go very quickly. I want to look at some passages of Scripture specifically that deal with the work of Satan, how Satan works, and when Satan works, mark it down, you're going to lose your holiness that Brother Meadows touched on. First of all, Exodus 32. Very, very familiar passage, and And I am not going to even attempt to answer the question, can a saved person be possessed or not? I'll leave that for the others. But a saved person certainly can be influenced and guided, and we can certainly follow a lot of His ways. Exodus 32, I hope you know the story. Moses is up on the mountain. Moses has been up there receiving instructions from God. The children of Israel get impatient. Just like Christians today, we want it, we want it now. But Moses is up there. Aaron takes all of their earrings and things and makes a golden calf to worship. Moses comes down, and here the children of Israel are worshiping the golden calf. And I want to pick up with verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. One of the things I would point out is that Satan is, and part of his success is that he wants to get people focused on excitement. Now, you'll read here that the people were excited. They had made this molten calf, and they were literally excited, and they were dancing, and whatever was involved in that, they were having an exciting meeting. You know, that's the emphasis today in most churches. We want excitement. I was trying to think this morning, I couldn't begin to count how many visitors we've lost because we don't have excitement. What do you do for excitement? I read my Bible. Oh. You know, they want excitement. We're blessed. Not really. We've got churches that, man, you listen to the people that go there, and you would think they're at a red stadium, or I guess St. Louis Cardinals or something. They want excitement. They want, something that they can feel and jump up and down and get excited. And, Satan worked back then 6,000 years or 5,000 years ago. And it still works today. Notice they were naked. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as we see more and more satanic influence today, people are taking off more and more of their clothes. It's not a coincidence. Satan, since God clothed Adam and Eve, Satan has been doing everything he can to undo what God did. It's no marvel to me that I read recently that there are over 1 million pornographic sites that open every day on the internet. It's a problem. Unfortunately, many Christians are falling for it. We're allowing Satan to influence us, and Christians say, well, what's wrong with dressing like this? Well, for starters, you're to be different. That includes the way you dress. You don't dress like the world. You don't talk like the world. You don't act like the world. But you look around. You can't buy toothpaste without seeing a naked woman almost. It's rampant today. Like I said, it's gotten into our churches. Young ladies don't know how to be ladies anymore. They expose themselves and don't think there's a thing wrong with it. Listen, that's what Satan did to the children of Israel. And if you really want to study it on down through, the closer people get to God in the Bible, the more clothed they become And the more backslidden they become, the more clothes they want to take off. You study that, you'll see a definite pattern. But they wanted something tangible, something that we can hold on to, something that will excite us and just we can have a whoopee good time. Satan hasn't changed. That's what most of our churches, at least in our area, are going for. You know, we want the, well, we won't get into everything, but you get the idea. Mark chapter 9. Again, we see a young man here who is demon-possessed. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Jesus has been up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. He comes down and he noticed that there's a great multitude. And verse 17, the father of the young man said, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. Notice in skipping down to verse 20, they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And notice, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. I want you to notice the characteristics here. This young man was very much into tearing himself, foaming, gnashing with his teeth. I hope you're not aware of this. But there is now, I hope y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I hope you're ignorant in this area. But there is now a branch of psychology that specifically deals with what's called cutting. Some of you have heard of it, obviously. It's where people are just uncontrollably, they cut themselves, they harm themselves, they not necessarily suicide, but just cutting themselves and all of these destructive behaviors and it's grown to be such a problem that now there is a whole field of psychology that deals with cutting. There are now drugs that are out that are specifically designed to help people who cannot resist cutting themselves. I submit unto you that self-destruction is a characteristic of Satan. He wants you to destroy your body because your body is made in the image and glory of God, and Satan hates you and hates everything you stand for. And I've actually had to deal with a lady a year or so ago who was into this cutting, and I mean, I'm telling you, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen or heard. She would take a razor blade and just cut big chunks of flesh off of her arms and off of her legs. And I would say, why do you do that? I don't know. I just can't control myself. I'm telling you, Satan is alive today. And a lot of things that we see, and psychiatrists say, well, it's an illness. It is. It's called sin. The worst illness that's ever came along. Notice what else this young man did. He attempted suicide every chance he got. Again, I hope y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but did you know that suicide is now one of the top killers. It is the number two cause of death among teenagers, second only to accidents. And if the truth was known, many of those accidents probably were planned. Why are children killing themselves in alarming numbers? Why is it that a young person can get so consumed and so filled that to them they just think the only way out is suicide? I submit that Satan is influencing them and maybe controlling them. We were watching the news this morning, and I'm sure if you turned on your radio or TV, you saw the young man that went in yesterday afternoon and killed 10 young people in a school and killed himself. I looked at Brother Reynolds and I said, you know, it's a good thing he didn't have the 10 commandments in that school saying, thou shalt not commit murder or thou shalt not kill, because those 10 commandments might have warped his mind. Listen, why do people kill themselves? I know sometimes life gets terrible. Sometimes you think, oh, I don't see any way out. But I say this morning that when you think of harming yourself and killing yourself, you are surrendering to the control or leadership or influence of satanic forces. Satan would love to kill every Christian alive if he could. I said, well, I've never thought about it. You're the exception, honestly. If you have, maybe you didn't realize you thought about it. But I remember years ago, we were at camp, and this was 10 or 15 years ago, and if you've ever been there, one day they take a hike and they go way up this mountain, and you can stand there and, man, you can see for miles and miles and miles. And, you know, I went up there and I understand, Mandy, they've got a rail there now. They didn't when I went. You know, it was, you walk up there and the thought hit, why don't you jump? Whoa! Where did that thought come from? If I had listened to that voice, Satan would have won a victory. Satan is the one that always wants you to harm yourself and hurt yourself and kill yourself if he can. Bible says your body is holy. You're to make your body holy. And I'm building on Brother Mendel's message there. Well, what else does Satan do? And I almost swallowed my teeth the other night when Brother Fayard said he was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know about here, but they are very thick up home. In fact, we have a man that comes occasionally who is a Mormon. And a few weeks ago, we had a lady that came, and I did not plan it, I did not purpose it, but in our Sunday school, we're studying the book of John, Jesus had healed the blind man, and the blind man comes, and Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? I already had my notes typed the week before, but I really dealt on the fact, you can't be saved if you don't believe on the Son of God. As the Son of God. So what does Satan do? 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah? Who is it that is trying to get focus off of Jesus Christ today? I say it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit always testifies of Christ. So why is there so much emphasis? Why do we have so many people who use the Bible to get people away from Jesus Christ? Because Satan knows that if he can keep people away from Jesus Christ, they will never be saved. You're a liar. And I went in that morning when that lady was there. I had no clue she was going to be there. And I type up my notes in Sunday school and hand them out so the people can follow along. My notes were already typed and printed and handing out before I knew she was there. But I spent a lot of time showing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because you deny that, you're not saved. And that's what Satan wants. Get people away from Christ. Get them into Islam. Get them into Pope John Paul. Get them into anything and everything except Jesus Christ. I don't care if they're religious. Let them have religion. Just don't give them Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, that's Satan that is trying to distract you and get and hinder you. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going very, very quickly, because I learned many years ago, you can go over at night, you can go over in the afternoon, but you better never go over at lunch, I'm telling you. So we will try to finish on time. 1 Corinthians 3. Now these are saved people, written to the church at Corinth. And yet, even among saved people, their adversary, the devil, was after them. Look in verse 3. For ye are yet cardinal. Cardinal is a word that we understand as backslidden. Operating according to the flesh. Going after the mind rather than the things of God. You're backslidden. How do you know they were backslidden? Why, there is among you envying. I spent a lot of time on this one. I'll touch it and go on. But envy is always a mark of satanic influence. When I become jealous of someone else, I'm not following holiness. Envy. Paul said, ye are cardinal. And one of the ways I know you're cardinal is there's envy among you. You're envious. Now, I must admit, when Brother Fayard started singing, I was just a twinge envious, brother. I can't carry a tune in a bucket if you sealed it with lead. I still couldn't carry it. But when envy begins to eat on you, you're following the influence of Satan. How come he gets a better car than I do? How come he gets a better house than I do? How come he's got a bigger church than I do? Anything, anytime you start thinking like that, you're surrendering your mind to the adversary and you're following his influence. Envy. Strife. Christians never have strife, do we? Oh, I tell you what, sometimes I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I was joking, I want it on record, I was joking. But I told him, I said, I am so sick and tired of independent Baptist fighting, I think I'm going to resign and go join the Methodist or something. You know what? You look around us. All we do is fight like cats and dogs. We can't get along. Paul said, you're a cardinal. How do I know? Because there's strife among you. Strife and holiness just don't mix. Strife and holiness are opposite. And when you begin to have strife, rest assured, You're following the influences of Satan and you're cardinal. You know, and I'm trying not to run over, but you know, one of the greatest ways that Satan can get strife? Some of you are looking, how? How many of you are married? Good grief. If you're married, you understand what Satan can do with strife. My wife is brilliant. She's beautiful. She is gifted in many, many ways. But you know what? Sometimes there just something just doesn't rub her right, and boy, she lets me have it. And I tell her, honey, you're being cardinal now. No, I'm not that stupid. I strife. If he can get husbands and wives fighting, parents and children fighting, have you ever come to church and had a knockdown drag out in the car on the way here, and you walk in church and sit down and you're so mad you're biting nails, and you stand up and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? You're a hypocrite. You're cardinal. You're backslidden. Strife. Satan can get in church. We built a brand new building 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't remember, Larry. You were there. And everybody told me, they said, "Oh, your church will split before this is over with." I got really nervous. I did, because we couldn't afford another split. I mean, we just couldn't afford that. So we sat down before we ever broke ground and we said, okay, we're going to lay some ground rules down. There are some things that are going to be matters of personal preference. You want blue or green? Do you want, you know, black or white? Those are not biblical issues over which I intend to make the decision. When we come to those things, we're going to vote. And we agree unanimously. The majority, if it's 5-4 or 29-28, the majority wins and everybody else agrees to shut up. Do we all agree with that? Everybody agreed. Guess who lost one of the first votes? You know, we went to vote on the brick, and I had already picked out my brick. This is it, folks. Don't y'all like that brick? We had samples brought in. Man, isn't that a nice brick? You know what? I think I was the only one that voted for it. And everybody got real nervous. What's Brother Ellis going to do? I got up and I said, "Folks, we all agreed we're not going to have strife. We voted fair and square. I lost. End of subject. Period." We went through a whole building program and never had one disagreement. I said, "That's not possible." It is if you don't let Satan get in and stir up strife. It can be done. Notice there was division. I like blue. I like green. Well, I don't care what you like. I want what I want. And they divided over something. We don't know what, but Paul said, when you're divided, you're cardinal. Not only that, but they were men choosers. Isn't Brother Reynolds? You know, Brother Reynolds is the best preacher. Well, no, he's not preaching this week. Brother Larry is, oh man, he is the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. Well, I don't think so. I think Brother Fayard was. I liked him much better. I gotta get the name of that character that you tell the jokes about, but, you know, I like Brother Fayard. Well, you're all wrong. Brother Meadows has got them all beat. And you know, if we're not careful, we begin to follow men instead of following Christ. That is always satanic influence. Very quickly, Luke chapter 10. Now again, I'm not going to read these, but Chapter 10, verse 38, we find the story. Jesus has gone to a certain village and He went to the house of Mary and Martha, and boy, do we have carnality. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Was Martha saved? I have no question she was saved. In reading Martha's life, I think Martha was saved, but she just got so cumbered about that she lost her joy. She lost her holiness. Notice what she did. She went in and proceeded to order Jesus around. Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I'm doing all the work. I'm carrying all the load. Nobody else is doing anything. I'm the only one that ever does anything. Do you ever feel like that at church sometimes? I don't know how y'all do it, but we have volunteers that we rotate. You know, we clean the building. And we have a schedule. This week is you. Next week is you. Next week is you. Well, you know what happens when you do that. You've got some families that go in with a toothbrush and they get down and get every little crack. And you've got some that go through and pick up the big pieces and think they've done a great job. You know what happens? Yeah, some of you are saying, yeah, we know what happens. If you're not careful, you become like Martha. Lord, I'm the only one that's ever doing anything. I'm the only one that ever cleans fit for anything. Lord, I'm doing it all. Well, I put in my notes that Martha was cumbered. She was busy. Boy, she was busy, busy, busy. And I'm probably the world's worst at this. But sometimes we become so busy that we become bitter. And folks, you can do that in the Lord's service as well. I said, oh, no, we're serving God. Well, I tell myself this, and my brother's going to tell me after this is over with. I told a man the other day, he was complaining, and I am trying to do better. He was saying, I'm just doing this, I'm doing that, and I listened to him, and he was depressed, he was discouraged, he was becoming angry, and I've got all these things to do for God, and I just can't get them all done. And I said, hold it. Hold it. God never requires more of us than we can do. Maybe you're busier than God intended you to be. And that's why you're bitter and angry. Serving God does not make you bitter. Serving God, if you're doing God's work and God's will, either you're backslidden, or you're not in God's will somewhere. Why, oh Mary, she's just sitting in there listening to preaching. Do you have anybody back in the back right now? I hope not. Good. I'm out here having to cook. I'm having to set the table. I'm having to set the plates. I'm having to get the food. And listen, look at Sister Reynolds. She's up there sitting down doing nothing. And I'm back here doing all the work. You know, if we're not careful, we get like that sometimes. Martha was busy, but she wasn't busy doing the Lord's work. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some of you brethren already know that this is Paul writing that In the last days, perilous times shall come. And I've heard many, many, many sermons over the years on this is what's going to happen in the last days. Let's just look at a couple very quickly. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men have always been lovers of their own selves. Now, I do believe that in the last days there will be an escalation of it. But men have always been lovers of themselves. That's why Cain killed Abel. He loved himself and his offering more than God's way. Covetous. Boy, I've touched on that with envy. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They have always been disobedient to parents. That's why Moses said, if they get so bad you can't control them, bring them to the elders and we'll kill them. Why did he put that in there? Because he knew children were always going to be disobedient to parents. This is not something brand new that Satan's going to suddenly, in the last day, start doing something that he's never done before. This is simply things that Satan has always done that are just going to get worse in the last days. Without natural affection, you could take that several ways. Truth breakers, false accusers, despisers, and I'm skipping despisers of those that are good. Brother Meadows, there will be people that will hate you for no other reason than you do good, and they can't stand it. I'm not going into politics, but that was one reason that there was such a bitter, bitter fight in our last election. They could not stand the thoughts of somebody maybe doing something good. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And again, I spent a lot of time on this one at our church. Next time you're tempted to go to Aunt Jane's family reunion on Sunday morning, you're following Satan. That's what Satan wants you to do. Satan is the one who wants you to go to the beach on Sunday, who wants you to go out on the lake, who wants you to go to the Cardinals game instead of coming to church. A few years ago, one of the vendors that I dealt with at work called me and he said, "How would you like to go to a Bengals game?" I thought, I've never in my life been to a football game, but okay, the tickets are free. He said, "They're right down on the 50-yard line, right down in the front." I thought, "Boy, if you got to go, that's a nice place to sit, isn't it?" "Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll take them. There's four of them. I'll take them. It's only one kickback. It's Sunday night, 6 o'clock. "Well, guess what? At 6 o'clock, we're starting church." I said, no, can't take them. "Well, I don't know if I'll ever get them again." "Well, I guess I'll just never get to go to a Bengals game then." He called up another man who claims to be a Christian, took him without hesitation, and went to a Bengals game instead of going to church. I say that is satanic influence. God said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Satan says, "Oh, come on. You can love your flesh just a little bit." Well, you can read on down all through here. Having a form of godliness but denying the power. Isn't that what we see today? Satan hasn't changed. He has always had a form of religion. but no godliness, no holiness. And folks, when we begin to follow these areas, I don't have a lot of a temper, but I do have a temper. And this has been a year or so ago, I was doing business with a man, and that guy absolutely did me dirty. I mean, he did me big time wrong. And I went around for months. The very mention of his name would tie my stomach in knots. I said, "You're a preacher. Hey, Satan works on us too." Finally, I said, "Lord, this is killing me, not him." I had to confess it. I said, "Did he apologize?" "No." I apologized to him, and he said, "You ought to." But you know what? Once I said, "Hey, I reacted wrong." Once I apologize, I don't care what he does anymore. I have peace. Do I do business with him? Not on your life again. You know, I'm not that dumb. But for months, Satan had me tied in knots. The mention of his name, my blood pressure would shoot up because he took thousands of dollars wrongfully. And oh, that made me mad. And I finally said, "Lord, you judge him. I have got to get right with you for my sake, not his." And I had my joy restored. Satan's out there. He wants you. Don't give him the advantage. Brother Reynolds.